Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamos is Nun. We are on Mem Tes Amud Beis. We are going to, Mirtzei Hashem, finish up the fourth parak of the Masechta, start the fifth parak of the Masechta. Let us immediately finish up what we almost finished yesterday, the fourth parak. Fourth parak of Masechta is very long, was very long, contrasted with a very short upcoming fifth parak of the Masechta. The fourth parak ending in terms of the definition of a mamzer. Mem Tes Amud Aleph, the opening mishnah on yesterday's daf, opened up with a machlokes in terms of what will produce a mamzer. So it's either going to be I'll go in the order of the mishnah as we presented yesterday. It's either going to be any lav, but even in the mishnah's variation of Rabbi Kiva, it's not any lav. It's a lav of she'er. Go back to yesterday's daf for a better understanding of what that means. According to Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, it is any Isser Kares. And according to Rav Yeshua, it is going to be Mises Beis Din. So these are the three opinions in terms of what produces a mamzer. And the Gemara went through in yesterday's daf a presentation of the svaras and the drushas that lie behind all three of those shitas. Even within the shita of Rabbi Kiva, if you recall yesterday, there were no less than three different variations of the shita of Rabbi Kiva. Anyway, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, and that is what produces a mamzer is an Isser Kares. This week's Parsha in Achrimo, so now we're going to be paying even more attention to Sedra and to this week's Parsha, because according to Rabbi Kiva, any one of the Arayas mentioned in this week's Parsha is going to produce, it's going to yield a mamzer, with notable exception to Nida, but again, as we pointed out in yesterday's daf. We found Megillas Yochsin. So Megillas Yochsin was cited not once but twice in yesterday's daf, once back in the Mishnah, and a second time in a Braisa. So Megillas Yochsin, so there were notes that were taken, Torah Shabbat Peh, that was formalized into notes. And in this particular Megillas Yochsin, so it adopted the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. That does not mean that's the halacha. In fact, that's not the halacha. But in this particular Megillas Yochsin, so it cites the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. It is curious why it is that the Mishnah elected to quote this Megillas Yochsin. I'm sure it's not the only notes out there in terms of Torah Shabbat Peh. So not totally clear on why the Mishnah elected to cite this Megillas Yochsin, but regardless, so it was cited. In yesterday's daf, we cited a Braisa. The Braisa gave us the same basic idea, but two other ideas as well, seemingly unrelated. The first point was that in the Megillas Yochsin, so we said that a mamzer is produced by adultery, which means that's the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, meaning it's a Mises Beis Din. That was point number one. Point number two is that anytime you see a statement to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's Kav Vinaki, which means that you'll see opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so you take it home with you. In other words, that is, he doesn't say much, and whatever he says is going to be, right, it's going to be really refined. And as we pointed out yesterday, the word Kav, Begamatria, is 102, and I did not fact check, but there are 102 statements of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Mishnayos, in which the halacha falls like him. Okay? And finally, Menashe killed Yeshayahu. Okay, why is that in Megillas Yochsin, and what exactly are the halachic ramifications of that statement? Unclear. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that Menashe does not get a chelek in Olam Haba, but I am only guessing and I really don't know. But regardless, Menashe killed Yeshayahu. And then yesterday we learned the backdrop in terms of how do we arrive at this conclusion that Menashe killed Yeshayahu? Why did Menashe kill Yeshayahu? And then we can also ask, who's Menashe and who's Yeshayahu? So hopefully Yeshayahu, you know. So one of the later Nevi'im in Bais Rishon. And Menashe, one of the later kings in Bais Rishon. Menashe was a son to Chizkiyahu, father to Yoshiyahu. So one of the last kings of Bais Rishon. And he was bad. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that possibly he's one of the very few people in lo chelek olam haba. Furthermore, regarding Menashe, so Menashe almost didn't come into existence. And we touched on this yesterday. I'll just quickly fill us in on some basic Navi information. And that is that Chizkiyahu did not want to have children. Chizkiyahu was a good king, inspired an entire Baal Tshuva movement, reintroduced learning into Klal Yisrael, and Chizkiyahu did not want to have children. So he knew prophetically that his child, if in fact he has a child, his child is going to be a Rasha. I know that is philosophically challenging. I'm aware of that. Okay, but it doesn't matter. That's what he knew. And so therefore he refused to have children. So he was visited by the Navi, none other than Yeshayahu. And the Navi said to him, look, as far as you're concerned, you have a mitzvah peruvu. What happens in the future, that's not your problem. All right, leave that for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu will figure things out. But in other words, you do what you're supposed to do, and that's it. And so because you're refusing to have children, so you're going to die. So Chizkiyahu davened, right? The one of the Gemaras I just remember off the top of my head is the Gemara in Brachos that Chizkiyahu davened by a wall, which brings us to the halacha that you're supposed to be davening, and you're really sure try to distract yourself as least as possible when davening. So facing a wall is a really good idea. But anyway, it's recommended. Obviously, not everyone in shul can face the wall. Okay. So, but anyway, regardless. So he davened, and Akash Baruch Hu gave an extension of 15 years. In those 15 extended years that he was given, so he had a child. And the child was Menashe. And Akash Baruch Hu, obviously, with perfect knowledge, so he understands why it is that we need a Menashe in this world. So Chizkiyahu didn't understand, but, and we don't necessarily understand, but that doesn't matter. In other words, our understanding, of course, is limited in its capacity. Nevertheless, that's the basic storyline. Okay. In terms of, death of Yeshayahu, so Menashe ended up killing Yeshayahu. Okay. Which again, now given the small amounts of information that we're given, what an unbelievable irony, meaning the only reason why Menashe came into this world is because of Yeshayahu, meaning Yeshayahu really prompted and promoted Chizkiyahu to have a child. So, okay, but anyway, Menashe was so bad that he ends up killing Yeshayahu. On what grounds? So that's what we covered yesterday, on the grounds of being a Navi Sheker. He said things which were seemingly against the Torah. There were three things that he said that were against the Torah, and so we're going to start off this morning by addressing all three of these things, and these three contradictions. And then we'll move on to today's daf and start the fifth parak of the Masechta. Okay, let's just do a quick reminder of the three stiras. Now, if you remember yesterday, we're not going to go read this inside, but if you remember yesterday, so Menashe and his and whoever were his deputies, they chased Yeshayahu down. Yeshayahu said, "Shem Hashem," hid in a tree, not behind a tree, but actually hid in a tree. And what they did is they chopped down the tree and they started shredding the tree. And when they got to the mouth of Yeshayahu, who was in the tree, so then Yeshayahu died. Why when they got to his mouth? So the Gemara said uncomfortably yesterday that Yeshayahu said a little Lashon Hara on Bnei Yisrael, and that's why his punishment came through his mouth. Okay. Again, all that is a recap of what we did yesterday. What are the three stiras? Number one, stira number one is Ki lo yirani adam v'chai. No person can see me. And meanwhile, there is Hashem, Yoshev HaKisei, Ram Benisa, and Yeshayahu saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at least he claims he did, in the sixth parak of Yeshayahu. Stira number two, Mika Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Alav. We can call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever we want. And meanwhile, Dir Shur Hashem B'Yimatzo, the Pasuk says in Chumash, that no, you know when you can call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only when he's found. The first Pasuk is Chumash, the second Pasuk is Yeshayahu. And then finally, it's Mispar Yamech Amalei. In Chumash, it says that, you know how long we're going to live? However many years Kadosh Baruch Hu deems fit for us to live. Meaning when everybody's born, so they're put onto the earth for X number of years. Now, we happen not to know the value of X. Okay, but Kadosh Baruch Hu does. And now, how safti al Yamecha Chamesh Esrei Shana. And meanwhile, Yeshayahu says to Chizkiyahu, oh, you get an extension of 15 years. How can there be an extension? Meaning it's not X plus, it's X. So how could there be an extension? Okay, so these are the three stiras and mikoma komkasha. So now we are picking up in the Gemara, where the Gemara is going to resolve these three discrepancies. Remember, Yeshayahu said yesterday, I could give Menashe answers, meaning I have answers for all three stiras. He doesn't care. He's not interested in answers. He likes his questions more than his answers. And he just wants to kill me. So I'm not going to give him answers, right? The Gemara said a powerful statement yesterday. Yeshayahu said, if I give him answers, so then he's going to kill me unjustly. And mutav shi, this is not exactly the language of the Gemara, but mutav shi yishogim v'ayu mezidim. I'd rather Menashe be a shogig and not a mezid. And so therefore, I'm not going to respond to his questions. Okay. Mikomakom kasha kriya adade. So we are now on Mem Tesamid Beis. 9-minute introduction to today's daf. Okay. I gotta shorten them. Anyway, so the Mikomakom kasha kriya adade. So the psukim are sosir one another. So the eres Hashem kedetanya kol anivim nistakel ba'aspaklar she'ena me'ira Moshe Rabbeinu nistakel ba'aspakla ha'me'ira. Stira number one. Yeshayahu saw, Moshe didn't see. And by the way, we can also add to the stira, how is it possible that Moshe, who's the greatest Navi, so he couldn't see Akash Baruch, and meanwhile Yeshayahu could? So basically, that's the answer. The answer is Yeshayahu did not see. But because of his opaque view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his distorted view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Nevuah is not a perfect vision. The Rambam spends a lot of time describing and discussing exactly how from a basic standpoint, how Nevuah works through Nevi'im versus the Nevuah of Moshe. So the Nevuah of Moshe is the clearest of them. The Gemara has a really interesting term. It's Aspaklaria. Moshe had Aspakla HaMe'iria. So Aspaklaria, it's a challenging word. So it could be, huh? So could be that it's a compound of two words. It could be that it's Safek and Re'ia. The Lama kind of gets lost in that and that compound suggestion. Anyway, it is an interesting word, but basically, in context, it means the following. It means that that Moshe Rabbeinu had the clearest vision of any Navi. And so he realized that he didn't see, meaning because of his clear vision. So therefore, whatever vision he had, with clarity, he knew that he couldn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Kilo Yirani Adam. Meanwhile, Yeshayahu had an opaque view, and he did not have a clear vision. He had a distorted vision. Through that distorted vision, what he thought is, he was able to see. So that answers up steer number one. Steer number two, Dir Shor Hashem Behimatzah HaBiyachad HaBetzibor. So, and as far as call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's there whenever you call out. And meanwhile, Dir Shor Hashem Behimatzah, no, only when he's found. So the Gemara says it depends whether you're a Yachid or Rabbim. And when you're a Rabbim, so then you're davening with a minion, you're davening Betzibor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there any given day, right? We are calendarically as far away from Rosh Hashanah as one could be. Not exactly, but pretty close to it. We're on the other side of the year. And meanwhile, you daven with a minion, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's full attention. That's Rabbim. Yachid, you don't, right? That you don't have as clear a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now and that's Dir Shor Hashem Behimatzah. Meaning, so when you're davening b'yechidu, so when do you really have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attention? That's only certain times of the year. Now, everyone here already knows the answer to when that's going to be. The Gemara here will articulate. But meanwhile, b'tzibor, so pick any time of the year. So, Amos, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Elo Asar Yamim, Shebein Rosh Hashanah, Liyama Kippurim. Okay, Aser Samei Tshuva. Aser Samei Tshuva is Dir Shor Hashem Behimatzah. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is particularly close. Now, as far as giving a certain number of years to every single person, and whether or not people can get an extension, so it happens to be a machlokas tonight. Meaning, now, it's funny, by the way, because we seemingly have a steer in psukim, and the Gemara says, well, it's a machlokas. What does that mean now? It means that the steer in psukim really just are reflecting a machlokas? It could be. Certainly sounds like what the Gemara is saying. Okay. But that's different than what the Gemara did for Steerah's number one and two. For Steerah's number one and two, the Gemara seeked and found resolution. Here, we're not seeking resolution. We're just simply saying, yeah, you're right. It's a machlokas, the Tanya. Right? These are the years of generations, meaning everybody's given a certain number of years they're going to live. X. And Zacha Mashlimim Lo, Lo Zacha Poschen Lo. So, as far as the X is concerned, so years can get detracted, but never can it be that years are going to be added. So the only way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates is that he gives you a certain number of years you're going to live, and for reasons of your behavior and I'm sure there are other factors as well. Maybe years will be reduced, but years are never going to be added. Okay, by Rashi and Chumash. So it's said that Avram died 5 years early. Meaning Avram was supposed to live to 180, right? Every one of the Avos was supposed to live to 180, except for the simple fact that most of them did not. Okay, but that's fine. In other words, Avram lived to 175, Yitzchak lived to 180, and Yaakov lived well short of 180. So as far as Avram is concerned, so Rashi and Chumash says, one of the reasons why is because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to spare Avram from having to see one of his grandsons go off the derech, OTD, as they say nowadays. So therefore 5 years were taken off. So obviously that has nothing to do with Avram's own actions, but that was a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Anyway, so years can be deducted, but years can never be added. Div Rabbi Kiva, that shitas Rabbi Kiva. V'chachamim omrim zachem osifim lo lo zecha poschen lo. And the chachamim say no. In other words, years could be deducted, years could be added. So amr lo lo Rabbi Kiva, hari omr v'osafti al yamecha chamesh asrei shana. So, and now they turn to Rabbi Kiva and they said, no, what do you mean years can't be added? Are you reading Navi? Right? And we, as we learned this morning, Chizkiyahu was given an extension of 50 years. 15 years. So I'm Alehem Mishalo Sifalo. And so Rabbi Kiva's response is, oh, you have it wrong. Your accounting is wrong. Meaning, those aren't 15 years that were added. In other words, what happened was is that he was supposed to live an additional 15 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu deducted those 15 years. And then what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is gave him back those 15 years that were deducted. And of course, I have to be right. Because, look, there was a Nevuah that came much earlier that said that Yoshiyahu is going to be born. Now, Yoshiyahu is the product of Menashe, who is the product of Chizkiyahu. So it has to be that the original plan was, is that Chizkiyahu was going to have a child. And so that's the argument that would say that those 15 years were supposed to be given to him, and then, because of his own choosing, because he refused to have children, so therefore those 15 years were deducted. That's the counter-argument that Rabbi Akiva would give to the Chachamim. Now, what's the counter-counter-argument? V'rabanan miksiv michizkia lebeis daviksiv. It says Yoshiyahu will come about. We don't know how Yoshiyahu is going to come about. He can come about through Chizkiyahu. He can come about through others as well. Imi chizkia nolad imi ina shachrina. Okay. So, in other words, so even as you present an argument, the counter-argument can be offered. Ad kan. We're almost done. So all this was a very really long tangent on the part of the Gemara after the Gemara quoted the Megillas Yochsin. And again, the whole reason why we quoted the Megillas Yochsin was just simply to point out that a mom's just created through adultery. Again, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua. Again, that's not the halacha. The halacha is like Shimon HaTimani. But as well, long as we quoted the Megillas Yochsin, so we also quoted the statement of Mishnah's Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki, and we also quoted that Menashe killed Yeshayahu, and then the back and forth in terms of why Menashe killed Yeshayahu, and what possible defenses could Yeshayahu have for the charges that he was trumped up on. Okay. Finally, Ishto Shemesa V'chulei, Yivimto Shemesa V'chulei. The Mishnah, in yesterday's daf, said it in six different ways. You're married to a woman or quasi-married to a woman and she dies, you're allowed to marry her sister. Okay? And six different ways the Mishnah has to tell us this information. And the truth of the matter is, no chidushim. Not a single chiddush. And the Gemara is bothered by that. Am Rav Yosef Kanchan, a Rebbe Mishnah, Shenet Zricha. So Rav Yosef, an Amora, comments and he says, yeah, this is an occasion where Rav Yehuda Anasi is saying something which is Shenet Zricha, it's unnecessary. Okay, not sure what to do with this piece of information. Meaning that most of our learning every day in the daf, so we assume and we assert that every time you see a Mishnah, oh, the Mishnah has to be teaching us something. The Mishnah has to be saying something new. And meanwhile, at least the way Rashi presents our Gemara right over here, okay, this is an occasion where I didn't need a Mishnah. I need a Pasuk in Chumash, this week's Parsha. I need a Pasuk in Chumash. The Pasuk in Chumash says, and when it comes to sisters, sisters are going to be an Erva, but that's only while your wife is alive. Once your wife is no longer alive, so then you're allowed to marry your sister. So now, once I know that, do I need the Mishnah? No. Okay, Mishnah Shenet Zricha. Okay. Let's say, I understand the Gemara, the point of the Gemara, but then the ramifications seem to be pretty serious in terms of how to learn other Mishnayos. I don't know.
You might have thought otherwise.
Well, then that would be called a Chiddush. If I would have thought otherwise, then we're looking at a Chiddush. That's not the Gemara's point. The Gemara's point is a Mishnah ain't a Tzricha. It's just simply unnecessary. Okay. Hadron Lachacholes, that takes us to the end of the fourth parak. So, the fourth parak has been, just in terms of patting ourselves on the back, the fourth parak, that was a serious amount of learning that we did. As far as it began, all the way back on Lamed Hey Amid Beis, 15 blot of Gemara, over here, that's 2 weeks of work in Daf Yomi in terms of the fourth parak of the Masechta. Okay. The upcoming parakim, right, there's no set amount in terms of how long a parak is going to be, and it really is going to be a function of how much the Gemara wants to talk about a particular topic. So over here now, we are about to embark on the fifth parak of the Masechta. Fifth parak of the Masechta is very short. Also happens to be really difficult. but please, I don't want to dissuade, I want to only encourage But all the Mishnayos are going to be front-loaded in the beginning of the Mishnah, in the beginning of this parak over here. And then after today, just a couple of days of discussion of the Gemara. And then we begin the sixth parak of the Masechta. Sixth parak of the Masechta. I know I'm looking too far ahead right now, but the sixth parak of the Masechta is beyond interesting. So please, I encourage you to always to stay on board But that sixth parak is really interesting. But meanwhile, here we have the fifth parak. Now, what we're going to basically be doing over the course of today, we're going to be learning a Mishnah. That's all we're going to be doing today. But the Mishnah is admittedly, it's complicated. It's a difficult Mishnah. But what the Mishnah is trying to dig at and try to understand is the dynamics of chalitza, yibum, maimer, and get. Okay? It's really that simple. Now, yibum and chalitza are the easiest. This is now going to be just a short introduction to the Mishnah. Yibum and chalitza are the easiest in terms of understanding their roles in a yibum context. Rachmanis, the husband dies, leaving a widow, leaving a brother. So now we know that there's a mitzvah of yibum. Now, if he does a mitzvah of yibum, they're married. If he does chalitza, now the zika has been severed. Good. As we are almost halfway through the Masechta in terms of dapim, this is information we all know. Really good. What if you do anything else after you do the mitzvah of yibum? And by the way, when I say the mitzvah of yibum, right, just to be really clear, we're talking about bia, right? The act of relations between this man and this woman. So once bia is done, so anything after that is significant? Of course not. Meaning the mitzvah has been performed. They're married, they're husband and wife. If after chalitza you do anything after that that has any legal significance, of course the answer is no. Meaning chalitza now totally severs the zika and that's it. And after chalitza, obviously you can't marry her. And not only can you not marry her, now this particular point, if I can just emphasize and highlight, this particular point now becomes critical just in terms of understanding the nuances of the Mishnah. Let's say after chalitza you even try to marry her. Is that going to have any significance? You're mekadisher after you do chalitza to her. It depends who you ask. Meaning, if I asked Rabbi Akiva, did that have any significance? What's Rabbi Akiva going to tell you? It's going to have no significance. Why? Because remember, after you do chalitza to a woman, what is she to you now from an Isra standpoint? She is not an erva. She is now kevan shalobana shuv lo yibane. It's a lav. Is there tfisas kedushin by a lav? Once again, it depends who you ask. If I ask Rabbi Akiva, the answer is going to be no. If I ask the Chachamim, the answer is going to be yes. Okay. Now that point over there, I'm going to say it again later today as well, but that point is a really important point in just in terms of understanding the subtleties of the Mishnah. So if you really digest that point really well, it will really help in terms of understanding the Mishnah. Okay, but before we start with the Mishnah, there are two other points to highlight over here, and that's Maimer and that's Get. Okay. Now, Maimer in the Yibam context is a rabbinic institution. We talked about this already a number of times earlier in the Masechta. Let's review. Maimer is basically the following. Yibam is, what is the mitzvah of Yibam? It's relations. It's bia. Which means now that as your brother died, leaving your sister-in-law now as a childless widow, so now you have a mitzvah of Yibam, which means that you and her just simply have relations. Now, that is a fast pass to a marriage. And that's not normally how marriage works. Marriage works normally in two steps. Kiddushin Nisuin. So over here, the Torah just simply says that there is no Kiddushin over here. What the Chachamim did is they inserted Kiddushin into Yibam. They wanted Yibam to behave more like a regular marriage, so to say. Okay. I know it's certainly a little bit challenging, meaning if the Torah didn't have this first stage, and the Torah immediately takes us to the bia / marriage. So why did the Chachamim feel now we should add a step? Not sure. But yeah, okay. In other words, I could certainly suggest reasons, but they did. The fact of the matter is they did. So now that Maimer now is a recognized middle step to get you to the mitzvah of Yibam. So what's the proper procedure? Meaning that in the event that there is a Yibam opportunity. So first you do Maimer. That is rabbinically legislated. It's like a quasi-kedushin. And then afterwards you do Bia. Now earlier in the Masechta we already spoke about how significant is Maimer. And if you remember, Machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai puts a lot of stock into Maimer. Beis Hillel puts less stock into Maimer. But even according to Beis Hillel, there's still some stock that goes into Maimer. Maimer is still significant. Okay, hold that thought. And then finally, Get. Okay, Get by far and away is going to be one of the more challenging ideas over here, because if a woman is a Yavama to you, so where does the Get fit into all this? The answer, of course, is it doesn't. In other words, get is just simply inappropriate. In other words, it's either going to be bia, or it'll be chalitza, or it'll be maimer. So what's get over here? So mina Torah, get is nothing. In other words, if you gave her a get at that point in time, the Torah has no recognition of the get that you just gave her. The Chachamim do. The Chachamim recognize the get that you gave her, and that what the get's going to do now is it's going to start the severance. Even though Minat Torah does nothing, nevertheless, the Chachamim injected over here the idea that once you gave her a get, it's basically you saying, I'm going to take a hard pass on this one. Thank you, but no thank you. But I don't mean that just as a pleasantry. It has legal significance. In that once you gave her a get, you really started the chalitza process, midrabanan, and therefore yibum no longer becomes an option. And then, just follow me now, because again, this is a really subtle point, but it's important. Now, since you started the chalitza process, let's say after get you decide, you know what, I'm rethinking the whole thing. I like her. All right, I could see us together. Let's say afterwards you try to do yibum. Is it going to work afterwards? Well, you started the chalitza process.
You gave her a get.
It's
like an erva.
Okay.
She married another man.
But. Okay, good. All right, it's good. So you see where basically I'm heading. Okay, so with all that stated, so there are four action points that we're going to be discussing. And then the mission over here, really, really systematic. Meaning if you like organization, you're going to love this Mishnah. Okay? But the Mishnah is going to do is the Mishnah is going to give us every single permutation of one action point followed by another action point. And we're going to do two rounds of this. Okay, so try to stay awake for round one. And then if you survive round one, then you have a round two. Okay, so really our work is cut out for us this morning. Let's get underway. The opening of the Mishnah is going to be starting off with the machlokas. Rabbi Gamliel Amar in get achar get v'lo maimer achar maimer v'lo bi'ila achar bi'ila v'lo chalitza achar chalitza. Now Rabbi Gamliel says that look, get achar get. And as Rashi points out over here, what we're describing here at the beginning of the Mishnah is, now there are two ways to say this. I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible because I know there's a lot going on here. So let's say your brother died leaving not one but two wives. And you are but one brother to do the mitzvah of Yibum. So you decide, you know what? My two now sister-in-laws, my two Yivamas, not interested in either one of them. I'm going to give a get to one. I'm going to give a get to the second. Okay. To really show my displeasure and my rejection of the two of them. Okay. The get that you gave to the first one. Now this is Shitas Rabbi Gamliel. The get that you give to the first one now is going to have legal significance. It's the beginning of the chalitza process. What about the get that you gave to the second one? So according to Rabbi Gamliel, it has no legal significance. Or alternatively, it has a lot of legal significance, which means it has no legal significance. Now, I know that was a hard point to follow. I'm recognizing that, but I'll try to be even clearer about it. Wait just one second. Let me just try to make this point. According to Rabbi Gamliel, so it comes out like this. The get that's issued to the first one. So either it's really significant, meaning again, the Torah doesn't recognize it, but the Chachamim recognize it. Recognize it could be all the way to the point where you really started the whole chalitza process, meaning you severed the zika. Now, I say that knowing you haven't fully severed the zika, meaning you're still short of giving her chalitza, but in terms of the zika's concern, basically it's over. Meaning now that the second get that you issued to the other co-wife is not going to have any significance. Okay, that's one possibility. The other possibility, Rabbi Gamliel, is that the get that's issued to the first wife, really, it's nothing. It has no significance whatsoever. Well, if that's true, neither does the second get that you issued to the second wife. Either way that I just looked at it, and Rabbi Gamliel holds those two possibilities as both being tenable possibilities, either way, the get that you issued to the second one is going to have no significance. Therefore what? Therefore, you're allowed to marry any relative of that second widow. Because she is nothing to you from a marriage standpoint, meaning that the get that you gave her has no effectiveness, and therefore you can marry any one of her relatives. The krova of the second one is going to be mutter to you. That would be true by get. Also, according to Rabbi Gamliel, would be true by maimer, meaning if I didn't, same construct. one brother, one surviving brother, two surviving widows. If he does mimer to the first one, mimer to the second one, the mimer that he does to the second one has no significance to it whatsoever. And if at a later point in time he wants to marry a relative of the second one, he may do so. Now, the next points of Rabbi Gamliel, chalitza and yibum, and those are no-brainers. Meaning, there's not going to be any debate by that. You do chalitza one, you do chalitza to the second chalitza that she did has no significance, because chalitza, once you do chalitza the first one, game over. It's done. Same thing was true with yibum. Now, this one's uncomfortable, but let's just speak it out. In other words, he has relations with the first widow, he has relations with the second widow. The relations that he has with the second widow has no significance. It was an act of znus. He's married to the first widow. So the act of bia that he has, does with the second one is an act of znus. Are you prohibited to relatives of your conquest? Sorry for being a little bit crass. And the answer is no, you're not. The only isser of arayis comes about only through marriage, not through znus. We made this point before. We're making it again now. Yes.
I'm just wondering, what was the purpose of the guy giving a second get?
No purpose over here. The Mishnah over here, don't seek so much for motivation. The Mishnah just wants to know what are the effects of doing so.
Rabbi, so the concept basically is that the Yibum or Chalitza is an obligation. No matter how many wives your brother had, once you fulfill one obligation to the first one,
correct,
the rest are basically inconsequential.
Right. In other words, it will have no effect. Right. In other words, the Zika has been addressed.
Your action has whatever
right.
You've done, either the mitzvah or
correct. But that's by chalitz and yibum, by mimer and by get. So because those are not action points that are recognized by the Torah, so it may have lingering effects. So again, according to Rabbi Gamliel, it does not have lingering effects. Correct. But hold that thought, because right now you're only given half a story. Okay. Good. Now, according to the Chachamim, there's get achar get, there's mimer achar mimer. Meaning that according to the Chachamim, get and mimer, because those are not the oraisa concepts, they're not the oraisa action points, therefore, they will have a lingering effect. You do mimer to one, you do mimer to the second, the mimer to the second is consequential. You do get to one, you do get to the get that you do to the second will be consequential. The way Rashi presents it, the get that you did one only partially severs the Zika. There's still some Zika remaining. And therefore, when you get to the second one, that therefore will have significance. You will now be prohibited to the relatives of the first widow and the relatives to the second widow, according to the Chachamim. Same thing is true regarding Mimer. Mimer, according to the Chachamim, only has partial significance. It only partially addresses the Zika. There's still some Zika out there that's remaining. There's still some residual Zika. I'm using terms today I never thought I would use. So there's still some residual Zika. And therefore, when you do mimer to the second one, it's going to have consequences. What are those consequences? You cannot marry the relatives of the second one as well. Avalo achar bi'ila avalo achar chalitza klam. However, if you do bi'a chalitza, so then there's not going to be anything after that. As Alan pointed out, in other words, bia and chalitza are Torah-recognized action points, and therefore, once you do one of those, so then that's it. In other words, the Zika has been resolved one way or another. Anything you do after that is not going to have any legal consequence. Good. Okay, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. Take it, absorb it, now put it aside for just a moment. Here we go. Okay, so this is going to be round one of today's daf. What we're going to go through is sequential events where it's a one-on-one. Man dies, leaving one surviving brother, one surviving wife. And now, in a one-on-one situation. So, we're going to have action point followed by action point. So, how many cases are there going to be in total? 12. Why not 16? It's really simple. Because we're doing one-on-one, so you can't do mimer. Because you're just repeating yourself with the same woman. So, what we are going to be discussing now is going to be mimer get, mimer chalitza, mimer yibum, right? Get mimer, get chalitza, get yibum, right? Everyone got the basic idea? And we're going to do that four times over, because again, there are four action points, four times three, that's 12. That's going to be round number one, okay? And then, if you already figured it out, setting us up for round number two, and round number two, you know what's going to happen. There are going to be two widows. So there, you're going to have now a possibility to do mimer, because it's two different women. And then mimer chalitza, and then mimer get. Okay, and right, and you get the point. And what we're going to basically see is, what happens if I were to do this combo? Okay, so the first round, we're going to do one-on-one, and round number two, we're going to do one-on-two. Okay, so now round number one. So, Kate's on. So, I'm going to do this, unfortunately, way too quickly. And so, I understand that I'm not going to be giving enough time for us to fully absorb and digest. Okay, as you can imagine, it took time for me to prepare and really get these cases down. And I apologize on the front end for just doing this too quickly. But Kate said, "Asa mimer b'yivimta v'nasal naget tzricha imena chalitza." So you do mimer, and then followed by a get. So now what? So tzricha imena chalitza. So now at this point in time, you have chalitza, and that's the only thing you could do. In other words, because now you, even though you did mimer, which mimer is the first step to yibum, that's great. But then afterwards, you gave her a get. So now what that get does is it basically is the beginning of the chalitza process. In other words, at this point in time, bia no longer becomes an option. Yibum no longer becomes an option because get. Albeit, now this is a point I made earlier, but again, the more I say it, the more we're all going to absorb. Get, even though min ha-Torah has no place in this context, nevertheless, the chachamim recognized it so that it's the beginning of the chalitza process. And at this point in time, the only way now to resolve this particular case is by actually giving chalitza. Also, maimer vechalitza tzorichah imena get. Let's say you do maimer, followed then by chalitza, you have to give her a get. Now, that's confusing, isn't it? You did maimer, followed then by chalitza. Now, the chalitza, maimer, minatorah is not recognized. Chalitza, minatorah is recognized. But you still have to give her a get. Why? So the answer is because maimer is a quasi-kedusha. Mimer is confused with marriage. I'm giving away the Gemara. The Gemara will do tomorrow. Today we'll just end with the Mishnah. So therefore, what you now have to do, even though Chalitza really severed, meaning that's it, game over, but you did do Mimer before you gave her the Chalitza. So the Mimer needs to be resolved as well. How do you resolve Mimer? Through a get. Number three. Also, Mimer Ubal Harezik Mitzvah. So now let's say you do Mimer and then followed by Bia. Congratulations, you did the Mitzvah. Right? Why didn't the Mishnah start here? Because again, the Mishnah here is just a systematic, organized, step-by-step, what if I do, right, this. And all we're doing now is just, it's an algorithm. That's all it is. And we're just seeing what comes out now if I go through these two processes. Next. Nasan give us a mimer. So here now, in the next series, we're going to be doing first get, followed then by, and again, just each one of the options. So nasan give us a mimer tzricha get v'chalitza. So let's say you do get followed by mimer. Okay, now what? Again, remember what's get? Get is the beginning of the chalitza process. So therefore, yibam no longer becomes an option. But you also did mimer. So now you have to address both. So what do you do for the get? You got to finish chalitza. What do you do for the mimer? Well, mimer requires a get. Okay. I know. I'm saying it quickly. I understand. Once you know the rules, it all flows. Okay, good. So again, I'm not giving you enough time to digest. I apologize, but we got to go. Nothing give it uba. I really do feel bad. We got to run through this. Nothing get uba al tzricha get v'chalitza. Now you gave her a get, and you had and then you had bia with her. So now you need get v'chalitza. Okay, now get v'chalitza. Why? Because again, you opened up with a get. So the get is what? It's the beginning of the severance process. So at this point in time, now yibum no longer becomes an option. So what do you have to do? You have to give her chalitza. But then after you gave her the get, you had bia with her. Now, from the Torah standpoint, what are you? Your husband and wife, mazel tov. Your husband and wife at the same time, however, because you started the chalitza process, so you have to sever. So how do you sever ties? Well, you gave her a get, so that's going to require a chalitza, but you also had bia with her, which means that you're married, which means that you're going to have to give her a get. Okay. Again, everything I'm saying is correct, makes sense, but it takes time. Nasan get v'chalitza. Now let's say you do get v'chalitza, ein acher chalitza klo. Okay, at this point in time now, you're done. Meaning get started the severance process, chalitza finished the severance process. Good. Chalitza v'asa maimer. Okay, now, here, so we did, what did we start with? The first a series of maimer, then a series of get, and now we're going to go to chalitza and bia. Now, chalitza and bia are the easiest. Why? Because they're action points recognized by the Torah. So here, chalas vasa maimer, oh. I know I added the word oh, but you're supposed to. Oh, nasan get, oh, baal. So let's say you do chalitza followed by whatever. After the chalitza, you did maimer. You gave her a get. You had bia with her. Whatever happens after chalitza, don't matter. Because chalitza did what? It ended the yibum. Okay, good. So anything you do after that is going to have no consequences whatsoever.
Not even your wife.
In other words, you did chalitza with her. So now, wait 1 second. Now, to your point, by the way, once again, we're able to absorb and digest a point I made earlier. Meaning, what I said, when I'm saying no, it really is, it's not as simple as I just said it. In other words, the Torah says, Kevin Shalabana, Shuv lo Yibana. That's not the Pasuk, but that's the Drasha. In other words, once you elected to do Chalitza, you can't marry her. Now, if you do marry her, will it take effect? Once again, it depends who you ask. If you ask Rabbi Akiva, there will be no Tfisas Kedushin. It's a lav to marry her. According to Rabbi Akiva, there will be no Tfisas Kedushin. According to the Chachamim, if there's no Tfisas Kedushin, then there's nothing. Right. According to the Chachamim, there is Tfisas Kedushin. You violate a law in marrying her, but you got to give her a get.
But just be alone is considered marrying her without completion?
It's a fair question. Meaning, if you're doing the bia, no. Alan, you're right. If you're doing the bia just as an act of znus, so then no, it's not marriage.
Right. But it's one of the three ways to do this.
But you need the right context, though. You need edim, right? And in other words, and it has to be done for kedushin. Okay. Fair points. We're going on. Oh, ba'al v'asamaymer nasan gevechalatz enacher chalitza klum. I'm sorry. Let me not read those last four words of the page. Ba'al v'asamaymer nasan gevechalatz. Let's say you have bia with her first. Good. So now you just did the mitzvah of yibum. Now you did it without maimer, but okay. In other words, you did the mitzvah of bia. You did bia, which is the mitzvah of yibum. Now what? Now, if you do anything afterwards, it doesn't matter. You do maimer afterwards. You gave her a get afterwards. You do chalitza afterwards. Now, admittedly, by the way, if you gave her a get afterwards, so then you're married and then you're divorced. But that's not the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is that once you do bia, the mitzvah now has been addressed. You've done the mitzvah. Anything you do after that, from a yibum standpoint, is not going to have any consequence. Okay. And then the Mishnah says, ein acher chalitza klum. Now, that's a little bit misleading, or not misleading, it's a little bit confusing, because the chalitza is not the series that we just finished. We just finished a series of bia. So really what the Mishnah should say something is more like, ein achar chalitza ve'ein achar bia klum. Okay, the Gemara is going to make this point. Okay, good. We previewed a Gemara that we're not going to see today. Achas yivama, achas liyavam echad, ve'achas shte yivamos liyavam echad. So everything we did now was a one-on-one that we just got done describing. Now as we turn to the Amud Beis, so everyone now hang on. Here we go now, round two of today's daf. In round two of today's daf, we're going to do the same thing again, but not with one brother and one widow, but rather with one brother, two widows. Now, by the way, just in case, if you're hopefully holding on for dear life right now, the same thing would be true if it were two surviving brothers and one widow. We could do the same song and dance as well. It would work either way. But right now, if I can, we'll just limit it to one surviving brother and two widows, and now we're going to do the same thing. But here now in round two, so why is it now going to be more fun? I don't know about that, but is it going to be more a little bit more complicated? Because now you can actually do mimer, and you could do get, because there are two widows out there. And now what's going to be if I do mimer? What if I do get? So over here now we're going to go same thing, series of mimer and with another action following it, but now you have four different possibilities. Get, again, four possibilities. Be and chalitza. Be and chalitza, of course, are the easiest. Probably, by the way, in other words, of these series, why did we start off with mimer and get? Because those are dine de rabbanan. And generally speaking, the Mishnah's favor opening up with dine de rabbanan. Anyway.
Same brother.
Same brother. Not two brothers. Two brothers are two different mitzvahs of Yibam. Okay, same brother. Achas yivama, I'm sorry, ketzad. Second line down. Asa maimer bezu, maimer bezu. So now you do maimer to one widow and a maimer to the other widow. Tzricha shnei gittin vechalitza. So at that point in time, again, the maimer has to be addressed. The maimer is a quasi kedushin. So it's going to require two gittin for each one of them and also a chalitza. Because, again, you're in a Yibam context. Yibam needs closure. Closure comes through a chalitza. But you only have to do chalitza to one of the two. Yeah, perfect. Now, maimer bezuva get lezu, tzricha give a chalitza. Now, let's see, you do maimer to one and get to another. Maimer to the first widow, get to the second widow, tzricha give a chalitza. So now you need to do give a chalitza. Get to address the maimer. Again, the maimer created a quasi-kedushin, so therefore it requires a get. That has to address the maimer. And then again, it's still an open case of Zika. That needs to be closed. Chalitza. Number three. Maimer bezu balazu tzricha beiz gitim vechalitza. You do maimer to one and bia to the other. Okay. You are a really confused man. Well, but hold on 1 second, because later we're going to be talking about men who are even more confused. But in other words, over here, you can't decide, meaning there are two widows. My brother was married to both of them. I like both of them. Okay, I'll do maimer to one, I'll do bia to the next. So at that point in time now, here's what you need. You need now two gets. Get for the first maimer and get for the other bia. Okay? Now, and also you need chalitza. Okay, good. Hopefully.
If you just did bia,
mazel tov, then you did yibam. But you did maimer on the first one. So maimer on the first one now will disqualify the bia that you did to the second one. Now I say disqualify, like, in other words, right, the not fully disqualified, because if it's fully disqualified, so then it wouldn't need to be addressed. In other words, and so this is where you like really need nuance in terms of understanding the Mishnah. Meaning, on one hand, the maimer to the first one now started the process with widow number one. But because you did bia with widow number two, so that now is going to impugn the maimer that you did first. And on top of that, because you did maimer to the first widow, it will impugn the bia that you did to the second one. Therefore, now the only way to resolve this is by severing. How do you sever? Well, you did maimer to the first, that's going to require a get. And you're married to the second one. That also is going to require a get. And because now you did it to two different widows, so you need to close the account. How do you close the account? Chalitza. Okay. Maimer bezuva chalitza lezu, harishona tzricha get. You do maimer to one and chalitza to the next. So now, chalitza, close the account. The account is closed. You did chalitza. But at the same time, however, you also have an outstanding maimer. That needs to be addressed. Okay, get. Get lezu. Okay, good. Those were all the rounds of maimer. Okay, that was four cases in succession. Now we're going to do another series over here. And again, as far as the system is concerned, the Mishnah is beyond organized. Let's go. Get lezu, ve get lezu tzricha mena chalitza. Okay, so now get. So at that point in time, so now you have started the severance process. So over here, you have to close the account. How do you close the account? Chalitza. Get lezu, balazu, tzricha geve chalitza. You do get and you have bia. So again, get started the severance process. So at that point in time, you cannot go back now. And you cannot open up the and say, I'd like to do yibam. And even if you have bia with the other one, So get lezu, balazu. So tzricha geve chalitza. So now, the woman you did bia with, so even though even though you shouldn't have, but nevertheless, you're married to her. Therefore, that one requires a get. And then on top of that, you also need to do chalitza because you started the severance process. So therefore, you do chalitza. That's get v'chalitza. Get lezu, maimer bezu, tzricha get v'chalitza. In a case where you do get to one and maimer to the other, so you need get v'chalitza. Okay, so in other words, again, once you do get, that starts the severance process. Once you do maimer, so that maimer has to be addressed. So you start the severance process, chalitza. You did maimer to the other one, that requires a get. Get lezu v'chalitza zu, einacha chalitza klum. So let's say you do get to one and chalitza to another. So again, the get was unnecessary, unwarranted, right? But nevertheless, you did it. Okay, that starts the severance process. Okay, you did chalitza. It happens to be you did chalitza to the other one, so what? You did chalitza. Okay, good, done. Okay, now, that was all round, not round, but that was series number two in round number two. meaning that was all where you opened up with get. Now you opened up with chalitza. Again, these are going to be easier because chalitza is an action point that the Torah recognizes. So now, chalatz v'chalatz. Chalitza to one, chalitza to the other. Chalatz v'asa maimer. Chalitza to the first and maimer to the second. Nasan get oba'a. You do chalitza to one, you give a get to the second. You do chalitza to one, you have bia to the other. Now, you talk about somebody, actually, this person's not so confused. What he did was wrong, but he's not so confused. Meaning, he knows he wants one, he knows he doesn't want the other. Okay, so, he did chalitza to the first one, and he did bia to the second one. So, in any one of these circumstances, so again, because you opened up with an action point of chalitza, that's it. Game over. In other words, the account is closed. I had bia with the co-wife, yeah. But in other words, but that's not going to affect Yibum. In other words, at this point in time, game over. Great. Now, Baal u Baal o Baal vasamaymer nasan get v'chalatz enach chalitza klum. So once again, if your first action point is bia, so that's it. You are now and her are married. Whatever you do to the second widow will have no consequence. Okay. It's a fair question. Just let me just finish the Mishnah. Now, in all these cases that we just did, so every one of these cases would work whether or not there's one surviving brother, two surviving widows, or two surviving brothers, one surviving widow. Meaning you can do any one of the above, not you can do, but any one of the above can plug into either one of those scenarios. Chalitz v'asa maimer, nasan get ubaal. Now, you do chalitza, followed then by maimer. Then afterwards, you gave her a get. And then you have bia. Oh, baal v'asa maimer, v'nasan get v'chalitz, ein achar chalitza klum, bein b'tchila, bein b'emtza, bein b'sof. So, there's nothing after chalitza. Meaning, even if I did all four action points to one woman, in other words, here, one brother, one widow. And even if you did all four action points, as long as there's a chalitza somewhere in there, so then the chalitza terminates. Okay. Obviously not where bia was done, but in other words, but if chalitza was done anywhere in the middle, it was done in the beginning, done in the middle, done in the end, so the chalitza will end the yibum saga, if you will. Now, v'habi'ila b'zmanchi b'tchila in acharei klum, b'emtza v'sof yesh acharei klum. Now, let's say bia was done first. Fine, you're married. In other words, then you've performed the mitzvah of Yibum. If let's say Yibum came after, now, it came after Maimer, as we already pointed out, that's the mitzvah, good. But let's say the Yibum comes after Chalitza. Let's say the Yibum comes after Get. So according to the Tanakhama, so that is not, that Yibum does not end the mitzvah. It does not complete the mitzvah. Once again, because you did another action point before the mitzvah of, before having bia, so therefore it's not going to, it will not allow the bia to be recognized as a bias mitzvah. Reb Nechemia Omer achas bila v'achas chalitza bein betchila bein b'emtza bein b'sof ein acharei klum. Reb Nechemia's position, which we'll elaborate and explain a little bit better over the remaining part of this parak, says that it's true by chalitza, it's also true by bia as well. If chalitza is either in the beginning, middle, or end, chalitza will end the whole yibum account. Same thing is true regarding bia. If bia is in the beginning, middle, or end, so then it also will end the account. When I say end the account, meaning you and her now are married. You perform the mitzvah of yibum. Okay, so this sheet of Reb Nechemia needs clarification. Okay, we're gonna give it clarification. Meanwhile, let's recap. Okay, this is it. I'm going to pause. So let's recap. We finished the fourth parak of the Masechta this morning, ending with the how to answer up the stiras between the Pesukim in the Torah and the Pesukim in Yeshayahu. Three stiras, three resolutions. Okay, didn't stop Menashe from killing Yeshayahu, but fine. But we resolved. In two of them were resolved. In the last one, we just said some machlokas at tonight. Okay, and adkan. And finally, the Mishnah says that after your wife dies, you're allowed to marry your sister. The Mishnah says in so many different ways. And the Gemara's comment on that is it's a Mishnah she'en tzricha. It's information that we knew already just by reading the Torah. We didn't need the Mishnah. Fine. And then we opened up the fifth parak of the Masechta. Now, the fifth parak of the Masechta is short, but boy, does it carry a punch. That fifth parak of the Masechta now wants to know what there are four action points, two recognized by the Torah, two recognized by the Chachamim, and now what were to happen if you complemented an action point followed by an action point, right? In other words, combination punches, where you do chalitza maimer, or you do get chalitza, and what would be the result? And there are two rounds in the Mishnah. One is where we had a one-on-one, one surviving brother with one surviving widow. And what if I did maimer followed by chalitza and any and every one of the permutations? 12 different cases in all. There are four action points, but because it's a one-on-one, so therefore we're not going to repeat, we're not going to do maimer. So we'll just simply go maimer chalitza, maimer bia, maimer get. And we'll do that four times, and that gets us to 12 in round number one. Then we get to round number two. That was the Amud Beis of today. That's the second half of the Mishnah, where it's going to be now a two-on-one or a one-on-two, either way. So now what you could do is you could do mimer to the first, mimer to the second, mimer to the first, get to the second. And there now we have four different scenarios, four times over. That's 16 different cases. What's the result of all of them? Adkan.